You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan. We'll continue, if you'd like, to give your impressions or opinions on DeMarcus Cousins, on following the Pelicans on Instagram, and then following the Lakers on Twitter. Does it mean anything? But more importantly, a question that you can actually really weigh in on if you're a Pels fan, is it bring back Boogie at all cost or bring back Boogie at the right cost? Why don't you tweet that out? Jordan the intern, as we welcome you to the midway point of your work week.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is?
It's hump day.
Hump day! I know you can hear me.
Let's get stupid.
Today's more that, what, that Camera Wednesday hump day? Is that what it is?
There it is. Sean Payton, the camel. Shot Gina Digital Underground, welcome you to halftime of your work week. All you got to do is get through the rest of the day. They're 4 hours for many, 5 hours for the most. Tomorrow, and then Friday. You wake up Friday morning feeling better because it's the weekend. Words of wisdom for you.
Peace and humpiness forever.
Dan Graziano, ESPN.com, Quarterback Confidence Index. Post-draft ranking of all 32 depth charts. This is where we are right now, right? OTAs next week. Next week, we'll get a chance to catch one of those next week when they start. So for the Saints, looking forward to that. Again, earlier this week, we kind of went over a little bit on what we saw rookie minicamp. I would say I got taken to task. I just was maybe made fun of on how I really like JT Barrett. I was just reporting what I saw, what stood out. I mean, that's the only thing I can tell you. And he did. And we'll see where what else goes. It'll be interesting, though, because obviously what Cam Meredith, he's targeting training camp. I mean, at the start of the season to be healthy and ready to go, so we really won't see a lot, you know, with him. But to see some of the other players maybe come back that were on IR, again, we'll go over it next week as well. But you remember, right, the 20-plus players that were placed on IR? Good handful of them were starters. I mean, it'd be nice to see AJ Klein there in the middle again. DeMario Davis, you know, where they line up, where they go. Just start getting ideas of what Dennis Allen and his team's thinking of how to do on defense. He talked about, hey, confidence and competition. He thought there would be competition at every position group. It'll probably be our first opportunity as a group, media-wise, to chat with Marcus Williams. Not that I ever doubt that he's, you know, something was wrong with him or anything of that nature. Because, again, I mentioned it when I asked Dennis Allen on Saturday. I said, you know, right after that Minnesota play, I want to say a week. Was it even a week? It might have been the Monday after where Marcus Williams was working out. I mean, they showed him at the gym, and he's, I mean, if you go and follow him on Instagram, speaking of Instagram, dude, yeah, as Jordan would say, he's jacked, but, he definitely has been, again, but it's something that fuels you. When that play took place, and I know it's hard to even think about it, it's going to do one of two things to you. It can only do one of two things. Again, more statistical analysis class for you here, Jordan. I mean, you can go a number of different ways. You can go how people react to it, right? Does it strengthen you? Does it weaken you? Does it give you doubt? Are you okay? Sort of where I'm confident up until that point. Am I put in that position again? Saints trying to guard the lead. Uh-oh, here comes the ball again. Does it, you know, give you the snap memory? Oh, here it comes. Do it again. I don't know. I've never been in that position, but I go by what you saw earlier in the year, Dennis Allen calling him one of the best players on it. I mean, the amount of play calling trust that Dennis Allen gave to Marcus Williams. Again, before he got injured and sit out of a game, he had more snaps on defense than any other starter, including Cam Jordan. AJ Klein. I mean, I don't know what else to say at that point. Marshawn Lattimore. It was Marcus Williams. So it was interesting. And again, I didn't expect anything, but I don't know. Was I expecting a longer answer or not? But I think in the short answer, I kind of got my answer. If that makes any sense to you. I asked Dennis Allen, hey, look, you know, Marcus Williams finally comes back to the facility. You know, how's he doing?
He's been outstanding. He's been outstanding. We felt great about Marcus when we drafted him, and we still feel great about him. I think he's really developed as a player. I think he's going to continue to get better.
There was a follow-up in, you know, do you even bring up the play? Do you even talk about it? And he said no, hadn't done it yet, and didn't plan on it. No reason to. I think he's going to have a good season. He had a good season last year. Like, I still, to this day, right? I mean, I wouldn't even say 9 out of 10. 9.5 out of 10. That doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. But, I don't know, it'll be interesting to see guys like him getting back into the swing of things. And where this defense is going to go getting back some of these healthy players. Alex Okafor being able to go in there and rotate. Again, I get it because of the price you paid and where he's at. Lots of us are thinking and expecting Marcus Davenport to start out there at the right defensive end. Sean Payton talking about him being out there and fine-tuning it with that raw talent. I don't know where Alex Okafor is health-wise, where he's at and ready to go. But it's going to be some work. Either one way or another. If you remember, played this back on Monday, Dennis Allen saying, look, seeing Davenport finally in person, it's what was said about him at the draft. Lots of raw talent, got to fine-tune certain things. Again, some of the observations we looked at, and again, the Saints went out and signed the left tackle that was guarding him, Michael Ola, who's a veteran, he's 30 years old, but it made a lot of sense. I thought he worked with his hands wonderfully to keep Davenport at bay. Davenport got a lot of good starts off the line. We saw the spin move. We saw power rush. We saw speed rush on the outside. Never got to the, you know, to Barrett. Never heard the whistle blow or Barrett had to pull it down and run or anything of that nature. So it's the fine tuning aspect of it, as Dennis Allen brought back again, once again.
Well, here's what I see. I see a talented player. I see a guy that has all the qualities that you're looking for in a right defensive end. With the ability to rush the passer. He's got the size. He's got the length. He's got the athletic ability. And now, you know, it's really up to us as coaches, and him as a player to develop those athletic qualities and turn him into a good football player.
So as I said, you know, kind of just going off the top of my head, some of the storylines we'll be looking at next week, right around this time when OTAs are underway. And again, it's just really our first glimpse to look at, what will become the makings of the team. I mean, you can deduce some things from it, and at other times you can throw it in the trash. Because last year in OTAs, Stephon Anthony was doing really well. Remember that? Stephon Anthony calling the plays at middle linebacker. And by the time he got to minicamp, you started seeing less of him, and yeah. So just you take it for what it's worth. But again, it'll be the first time you kind of snapshot and start to look at some of the newer players that you did pick up in free agency. As we said, DeMario Davis. I loved what Dennis Allen said about competing, because he was asked, like, who's going to be the signal caller there? You've had Craig Robinson. Teo's done it, or ability to do it. Klein, DeMario Davis got a pretty nice deal to come over here in free agency, and you know he wasn't giving the job to anybody. I kind of like that though. Dennis Allen was just like this last year, and you could hear it again this year.
Here's what we see. Look, you can't ever have enough good football players, and I think a lot of times guys get, you know, really caught up in where a guy's at on the depth chart right now, and that's really not any of our concern. No different than what we did last year. We're going to put all those guys out there. We're going to move them around. We're going to let them compete. And you know, at the end of the day, between the process of OTAs and minicamp and training camp, we've got time to evaluate. And our job as coaches is find out who can play and then put them in positions that allow them to do the things that they do really well and try to limit the things that, that maybe they're not quite as good at. So healthy competition is what you're striving for in every team, because that's how you get better as a team.
And one of the things that I find interesting as well is with that competition, I thought it kind of made this team a little bit better last year. We touched on a lot with Aaron Glenn, defensive backs coach, V. Curtis Johnson, the wide receivers coach, in their groups. Whoever won a play, celebrated. The defense did it, spiked the ball right in the face of the offensive player. Then Curtis Johnson, when a receiver got it, go spike it in front of the defensive backs. And there was hand shoving and pushing and everything. And then early on during training camp, you know, when they bring the officials and, you know, they have them on a day to kind of throw the flags to see what would be a penalty or wouldn't. They didn't care. The defense didn't care. They were hand checking you. But again, it's one of the things that you observe that we can see early on during these OTAs and mini camps and early practices. You start to see what are they trying to establish. And you were trying to establish a more aggressive physical nature in the secondary, and you saw it during the season. Also, as we said, it'll be a chance to kind of check out some of the newer players that you got in free agency. Demario Davis being one, Patrick Robinson coming back to town. P. Robinum, Dennis Allen on that.
Well, look, certainly, you know, I was here when we drafted Patrick. I like Patrick as a football player. I've seen him develop from the time that he first came here as a rookie to where he's at right now. I thought he had an outstanding year last year. I think he can provide a function and serve in the role inside in the nickel. I think that's where we primarily see him playing. And I think, again, it adds another quality player to our secondary room and specifically to the corner position.
So, and then the other thing, too, is there's always going to be signs and things of players of making a run in, at a roster spot, trying to do some things. I know I had my say already on JT Barrett. I liked him. I liked what I saw. Some of the other players, in particular one, because of a position group of need, the tight end, right? Deion Yelder. Sean Payton from back over the weekend, of what he thought of Deion Yelder.
Well, he's big and he can run. He's done pretty well here for the first 2 days. So, you know, his speed and some of his times were good. We think he catches the ball well, and we got to work and get up to speed a little bit in the blocking.
Also, we heard head coach Sean Payton be as clear as you can when he was asked about bringing in a veteran running back, since you're not going to have Ingram for the first four games. A quick reminder.
Right now, no. I wouldn't say we're not. We're constantly looking at who's available, but I'm anxious to evaluate the guys that we have here and our numbers here right now.
Exactly. And he mentioned Trey Edmonds and Jonathan Williams as other guys that he wants to kind of get a look at.
Well, Jonathan Williams, we scouted last year from Arkansas. That's one of the reasons why we went ahead and signed him to our active roster. We thought he had real good vision and balance. You know, and there'll be a handful of other guys that'll be competing for those touches. And certainly, you know, you miss something with a guy like Mark Ingram in those early weeks that you normally would get. But I think that, you know, for us, it's going to be evaluating that whole position and, you know, determining who can handle some of that role, because the mistake would be then Alvin gets 15 more carries, and that's not the direction we would expect to go. I don't think that is wise.
No, and we touched on it over the last 2 days as well. It's real simple to me that you just don't give them all there because just of the nature of what you have brought in. Cameron Meredith, you signed him, right? You also have Traquan Smith, draft pick, and Ben Watson. You have to assume during a game all of those players, the three players, get at least two targets, maybe two touches. That's six right there. I can envision, shockingly, Michael Thomas gets two more. And Kamari gets two to three more. So, yeah, I look, that's what it is. And It was so funny to watch ESPN on Monday morning. It was Get Up, even though I was about to rename the show Sit Down. See what I just did there, Jordan? Did you just sigh?
Yeah.
I just did something brilliant, and you just sighed.
Say it again.
The name of the show with, you know, Greenberg and Beetle, yeah. Jalen Rose, it's, you know,
Sit Down.
Get Up. And I was almost about to say, and the name of the show needs to be Sit Down. You haven't even heard why I said that.
All right, tell me what, Gus.
And you, but my point is, it was a premeditated sigh. You already assumed that what I was going to say merited a sigh.
I definitely know it's going to be a sigh.
Well, because they were talking about how Adrian Peterson might be coming back to the Saints and that there's a home there.
Did Sean Payton?
Well, that's why I said it. That's why the name of the show should have been Sit Down. See?
So you're telling Sean Payton to sit down also?
No, because this is what Sean Payton said about Adrian Peterson coming back.
Absolutely. This gets back to the notion that we had some type of any argument at Minnesota, which I still say there was none. I think a ton of him. And, you know, that would be the part where if all of a sudden, you know, we decided, hey, we're going to look at additional players that are on the street, you know, certainly his name, there'd be a few others. We have him on a board right now, you know, who's available, veteran running backs and you know, stacked on a board graded. But, listen, he's a tough player, warrior, and a great worker, and we had a good relationship.
Now, the question was, would he consider bringing him back? And that's why he said absolutely. And then you listen to what Sean said there. Sean said he's helping him out, saying if he still guy still needs a job, no one signed him, right? So he's like, look, he was great. There was nothing wrong. We had no argument. Now, I'll say this, that picture, that GIF of Adrian Peterson looking, you know, like it's GIF, okay? The guy that made the thing called it a GIF. Stop rolling your eyes at me. So the thing is that when you do that, I was saying, imagine doing that picture that Peterson did to your significant other. And then tell her, nothing's fine. It's all fine. There's nothing wrong. Now look, things happen on the sideline. And I guess that's what Sean Payton says. Like, look, stop, whatever. But my point is, you also heard in that response from Sean Payton saying, look, there's a list of people that they'll be going into and things of that nature. Quick break. When we come back, we'll go to Jimmy, get his opinion. 800-998-1003, bottom of this hour, touch them all. Timmy Grubbs will talk Cakes, baseball, Major League Baseball storylines. And then next hour, it's Glenn Gilbo, 205. LSU likely playing their last game at Alec Box Stadium this season? That's weird. Dino Hanson, 215, will go a little deeper into the Eastern Conference Finals Game 2. And tonight's Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals. Rockets are actually favored by 2 points tonight. And then Paul Boron, 2:30, little wrestling segment from him. Yeah, he's the voice of the Jesters, by the way, head coach Kenny Farrell's show each and every Tuesday. He was at Finn McCool's last Tuesday. Week one was at Finn McCool's as well. I think it'll be there every week. And then on Thursdays, tomorrow, he will join us here on his weekly segment at 2:30. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans. Welcome back, Sports Hangover. Jimmy, thanks for giving us a call here on ESPN New Orleans, 800-998-1003. What you got, bud?
Hey, Gus, I got two questions. I'm going to hang up and listen.
Okay,
Joe Burrow, I just kind of want to know what the latest is with that. I heard it's a high probability transfer in LSU. Also, as far as this DeMarcus Cousins unfollowing the Pelicans on Instagram, you know, I don't think he has that much leverage, Gus. You know, it kind of reminds me a little bit of Vaccaro. Bad timing for an injury. I'm more concerned about Solomon Hill. You know, my question to you is, do you know the specifics on the Hill deal? I think it's one more year we're on the hook with him. Again, I just, you know, but then back to Cousins, you know, it seems like Davis almost looked at him like a big brother. And, you know, we got Davis for 2 more years for sure. And on one level, I think we need to bring Cousins back to kind of keep Davis appeased. But, I mean, that's a big injury.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can kind of see Gus where he did unfollow the Pelicans because it's free agency. He doesn't want to, you know, show his cards too much, be like, hey, I'm a Pelican no matter what. And then again, he doesn't have that much leverage. So with that injury, so I'm curious to know about the Joe Burrow situation and what's the status of Solomon Hill. And in closing, I do think Cousins is going to come back maybe for like 2 years, but I don't know. This injury, it scares me a little bit. All right, hanging up and listening to the response.
All right, my man. Solomon Hill, I mean, look, he can improve from that. You saw towards the end there of him trying to come back and the team trying to use him, not playing for two-thirds of the season. Probably really hurt you. If he's healthy, look, I know there's some things that Elvin Gentry likes about him defensively, things that just he wasn't healthy when you saw him on the court this year. Or physically to his best, right? I mean, when you don't play basketball for most of the season, you're not going to be in the shape that you want to be in. When it comes to the Cousins situation, like I said, I understand it. In that he wants the most money. I understand probably why you kind of do that as well with the unfollow. I don't know. It's kind of seems like you, what is it that's important to you? What is it you want? I mean, the Pels went to the Western Conference semifinals without you. And after the Blazers, yeah, maybe you heard the rumblings and maybe you saw on social media people going, well, maybe we're better without him. I'm sure he saw it. It wasn't being hidden and it wasn't like Jordan tweeting it. It was people that covered the team throwing the question up there. I think we used it. So I get that, but you know, here's the thing, Jimmy, if you do that, what are you sort of saying? And does it really give you that much leverage? Because here's what I'm getting at. At the end of the day, if a team wants you, they're going to contact your agent regardless. If he was to be tweeting every single day, I love me the Pels. Mm-mm, look at me eating some beignets over here. I'm sorry, he's in L.A. Anyway, my point is, if he was tweeting the love that he has for New Orleans and the Pelicans, the only thing that would be affecting is maybe giving the Pels belief they can give him less. But if a team wanted him, say, again, some of the teams that two in particular have been linked to him through various reports, sources, or rumor or whatever, because, again, no team can talk to him. People are speculating. Now, we all know better. Players can talk to him. Players can talk to one another all the time. If you want to try to prove tampering, go have at it. I mean, AD and Boogie talked about it openly at the Boogie Conference introductory press conference after that All-Star game, right? During a game, after the games, when Sacramento and New Orleans played one another, they would talk about it on the court. You need to come over here and play. No, you need to come over here and play. Rondo has talked about it this postseason, that he was on the phone with these guys. Hey, let's get together. Let's form up. So it could be happening. But Dallas and L.A. seem to be the two names and teams that you see the most. I mean, Dallas has fallen off the face of the earth. And you got an owner there that's not used to not getting the attention. You could easily see him stroke whatever check it takes. Because he'll draw. He'll make you better. I mean, he was 26-12. Say the Achilles makes him 16-6. That's probably better than they got. He's got a pretty pricey arena to try to fill at American Airlines. Still got Dirk there lingering. Some other pieces, sure, make you better right then and there. Boogie gets his money. Boogie feels loved. In L.A., and Boogie on his Twitter account in the past has tweeted his favorite team growing up was the Lakers. Now, I don't know what the Lakers are doing. All I know is the graph. The last time the Lakers were in town was yelling at Lonzo Ball to keep shooting from his courtside seat because it kept clanking. Paul George going to go over there? Are they still trying for LeBron? I mean, you don't know. So I don't know how much leverage you can get on social media by following or unfollowing or tweeting and not tweeting, because I don't think it matters at the end of the day. Jimmy, my point is this. If Dallas, Lakers, Portland, Orlando, I don't know, Washington wanted DeMarcus, they'll call his agent. Whether he's tweeting, I love L.A., as in Louisiana, or I love L.A., as in Los Angeles, the agent's still going to be called by those teams. It could be a conversation, hey, how happy is he there? Have any of y'all listening ever gotten a phone call, you're happy at your job, you're not looking, and somebody just calls, and the conversation turns into, how happy are you? They're inquiring, would you be willing to move? Would you be willing to look somewhere else? It all is going to go through there. That's what I'm saying. I don't understand the principle of this. Because all it can do is, I think, paint a not so good picture of you. What are you, 15? You didn't offer me to max? I don't know if one follow you. I, you know what I'm getting at? And again, I could be reading into all of this. But fans are seeing it. His teammates are seeing it. The team is seeing it. And he didn't hide from it. He replied to somebody asking, why did you unfollow the Pelicans? With, because I'm grown. Whatever that means. Jordan, you're assuming it means?
Because he's a grown man?
There it is. Or what?
I think it could mean that he's kind of been screwed over once in Sacramento.
Yeah, but
and now he doesn't want to get screwed over again, he's kind of grown.
Kind of grown?
Yeah.
So grown up?
Yeah. His mind is there.
Again, leaves to, but his response and reply is why we're talking about it. And he replied, because I'm grown. Okay, what? So, I mean, but he's saying he did it on purpose, right? I mean, he's saying I did it. So, I don't know. I don't know how much of that, as far as Joe Burrow goes, Jimmy, I was listening to Matt Moscone after further yesterday, and it was his opening segment. And the latest search that you have as well, he did visit LSU. He said he was going to get the decision by the end of the week, but he's also visiting North Carolina now. So when I, again, it's just my, you know, my thing. When, if I wanted that, and again, it depends who's reporting it. It's either set or it's not set. He's going or he's not going. He's visited Cincinnati and LSU, leaning over LSU or Cincy. I mean, the land of 10. About the Big Ten, says Joe Burrow leaning towards Cincinnati over LSU. Sean Callahan covers the Huskers. He says, you know, that visit with North Carolina is sure yet, but it looks like another trip is coming. And that was yesterday at some point. So my thing is this, if you're convinced, it's sort of like when the Saints have free agents. Never want them to leave, right? How many times have the Saints signed free agents, Jimmy, and they don't leave? If you're considering and willing to go to North Carolina, then you didn't hear everything you wanted to hear maybe at LSU. Or you could just be like, you know what? They called and offered a visit. Why not take the visit? It could be just that. But from what Matt was saying and everything that I've seen online, the decision will be at the end of the week. And we talked about it last week on Friday. The fact that they're hosting anybody to do it tells me they don't have a quarterback. And I heard Matt's, you know, take on it on Monday saying, look, you absolutely take the visit. If a guy like him wants to come visit, you take the visit and don't worry about upsetting to the quarterbacks. But, and some of the guys that he's had on the show, and even what Matt said, you do this, there's no way, and you're probably already not going to have, you know, either Narcisse or Brennan finish their career at LSU. Somebody's going to bail, transfer, want to leave. But it is interesting that, you know, this week in May here, mid-May, you're trying to see if this guy can come in. Because, again, you're not hosting him if you're happy and satisfied with the other two. You're just not. So by doing it, yeah, you're not happy and satisfied. Again, understand. Got to win. But it is strange. But as far as where he goes, every indication is he's going to go visit North Carolina. At least that's the latest I heard. That's what Matt said. And if you do a search real quick, it's all heading in that direction. But again, if you're still thinking about going visit somewhere else, then LSU didn't close the deal. You weren't satisfied what you said there. I don't know. It made me think of this as we go to break. Because I heard Matt saying it, and the thought that popped in my head was, the fact you have, what, two of the nation's top receivers, didn't LSU sign the number one receiving prospect in the class last year? Like, if that doesn't give you reason to come, and you have a guy that everyone, at least LSU fans, build to meet as the savior in Dave Aranda, and how good the LSU defense is, and what more do you want? You know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm a quarterback, you're absolutely going to give the chance to play. Unless you want to hear from the head coach, you're a starter, which I don't know how many coaches will be willing to do that. But if you potentially have two, if not three, of the best receivers in the country eagerly looking for someone to deliver them the football, a defensive coordinator that everyone builds as, hey, this is the strength of this team and he's a head coach in waiting, then you got a defense, you got receivers that are probably next level type guys. What do you want? So it is very odd if he is going to take more visits. You would think, for a guy like him, that's probably where you're going to go. When we come back, Tim Grubbs, Touch 'Em All, gives us the latest on the baby cakes and also the latest on Major League Baseball, the top storylines in the show. When we come back on the Sports Hangover, the name of the show on ESPN New Orleans.
Every night she'd be on the floor shaking what she'd got. Man, when I tell you she was cool, she was red hot.
The last time we talked with Touch 'Em All, Timmy Grubbs, at Mr. Tim Grubbs. The way to follow Tim Grubbs, the voice of the baby cakes. Tim, I want to say, man, your team was playing a lot of one-run games earlier in the season, losing those, then kind of winning some. You guys went on a nice win streak. I Elgato Negra'd you at 6 wins. You had win 7 in the bag. And then I text you, way to go, in the 9th, and then you lost it. And you now split the 2 games against Omaha. That said, the win yesterday, 16-0, nice and comfortable.
Oh, that was an ugly game. You know, you always want to win, and I'll say it, but I tell you, it's better to win 16-0 than to lose 16-0. But that's really not a lot of fun broadcasting. Is you start talking about Swoboda and I just started doing like a talk show to some degree. You know, the run up against you yesterday afternoon, not intentionally, but because, you know, the play-by-play of all the walks and, you know, the RBI singles and the balls dropping in just kind of gets a little blah. But, hey, it's a win, and it was certainly a little bit of fun. And we have a day off today, and we'll try to get back on track tomorrow night as we welcome in Round Rock for a quick 4-gamer.
Ah, the dreaded Round Rock Express. Although, the last time you guys played him here wasn't too bad on the road and at home. You've already played him here at home.
Yeah. We have not played him here, but we played him there. That was the one game that we should have won the series, but UL Gato Negro'd us. Yeah, and it was so funny because you sent the text saying, wow, he's playing really well. And I was like,
you were on your way to win number 7. I figured it was 3 outs, you had it. Exactly. It's a win. It's a win, Tim. And it turned out to be a loss. Anyway.
It was a win, and it turns out to be a loss. But that's, you know, we've been doing it to each other with different teams for the last several years, and we know once you put the mouth to it, it can definitely go the other direction.
Well, all I care is what happens between May 30th and the early part of June when you host the super dreaded Memphis Redbirds.
Well, they're loaded. They've cooled off a little bit, but their farm system, as we always talk about, they just reload, and it's not that they have the super prospects, you know, that some of these teams do, but it just doesn't matter. Whoever you put in that uniform seems to always play well.
Tim Grubbs, in case you don't know, is a Pittsburgh Pirates fan, and he will get a close-up view of the top teams in the NL Central as Iowa and Memphis are the two teams that will be playing after Round Rock in Omaha. Finally, some new teams that you guys have been playing, because it feels like it's been Round Rock or Omaha for, you know, a long time.
It's a 24-game stretch where we're playing two teams, and it's just alternating kind of, we're either in their cities or they're here. I don't know who put the schedule together, and it's just been, you know, it's monotonous. I will say this, from a prep standpoint, this is awesome.
You don't have to do a whole lot of prep. Exactly right. And Mr. Tim Grubbs, the way to follow Tim over on Twitter, please do so. He's the voice of the baby cakes. And each and every week we talk cakes, and we talk the top storylines in Major League Baseball. I guess we start with the big one this week, which happens to be Robinson Cano. And, you know, he gets 80 games popped for PEDs. He said it wasn't a PED or whatever.
Yeah, he got tested for the masking agent.
Yeah.
Which obviously, why would you be taking something that would make you urinate more?
Here's the thing, Tim. Golic and Wingo said it best yesterday morning. They said, why wouldn't you? Like, seriously, why wouldn't you in baseball? Why would you not take something to get the large contract? Because the Mariners, they still own like 5 years, 120 mil or something. He's losing 12. Right. But
he's
going
to lose 12 over the next 80 games. But did you see what he did? He tested positive to this in the wintertime.
Right.
And he was going through the appeals process. Well, the other day he breaks his wrist, so he knows he's down 6 weeks. So then he just says, I'm not going to appeal anymore. I'll take my suspension now. Which, you know, he wasn't going to play anyway. You know, right. But now he doesn't get paid to sit on the DL. So, I mean, I guess he's man enough to, you know, at least not get paid while he's on the disabled list. But still, I mean, that doesn't seem right either. You know, when you wouldn't have played anyway, it's almost like you should wait for him to be healthy and then start the 80 games.
But, yeah, no doubt about it. But look, at the end of the day, you sit me down 80 and I lose $12 million, but I'm still getting 120.
Sure.
I mean,
yeah, no, that's
I would do
money.
It. I would absolutely do it to sign that one big deal, and then you pop me. I mean, why wouldn't you do it? I mean, just I don't think it's, you know, the big detriment.
Who you are. I think, you know, obviously it probably, well, I don't even know if it'll keep you from the Hall of Fame. I mean, it has to this point, but I do think at some point there's going to be a change in thought. You know, when some of these guys are going to end up in the right. Hall of Fame anyway, because they're going to be like, well, they were great players anyway. But if you're a borderline player, it does make a lot of sense. If that can make you a lot of money, why not do it? You know, because it seems like only a few ever get caught, and it seems like the technology and these masking devices, you know, they're ahead of the test. So, right. You know, you're definitely on to something. And, you know, we'll see if it hurts Seattle. I mean, the Mariners have been kind of a nice story. You know, they're playing real well. They're right on the heels of both the Angels and the Astros. And, you know, they're, what, 2.5 games out of first place. So, I mean, we're right there in the mix as one of the better teams in the American League. And now you lose him for an extended period of time. We'll see how much it cripples them.
One of the things that's interesting, Tim, right around this time of the year, it kind of seems like those games, I mean, you've been playing about a month and a half now, and it, you know, injuries starting to happen. If you just go to ESPN's baseball page, the main page, these are the top headlines. Tigers Cabrera says he's done playing hurt. Mets Cespedes on DL with hip flexor strain. Rays put Gomez on DL. Twins catcher Castro out for the season. Seems like injuries are starting to crop up and pop up everywhere. Is it just this is the time of the year where some of those things and playing every day and playing all these games, it starts taking to a toll? Is this normal to you?
Yeah, I think it's pretty normal. And a lot of the names you've said are older guys. You know what I mean? That, you know, they go spring training, they play so little and they just get themselves conditioned to get their reps in and all that sort of stuff. But then once you get going, you know, you're playing 6 days a week, and here we are now about 25% into the season. And I think a lot of these guys, like, you know, Cabrera, a little older, Jason Castro, not real old, but he's old for a catcher, you know what I mean, because of the wear and tear of your knees. And I think you're getting Carlos Gomez with Tampa is getting up there as well. I know it's a lot of veteran guys that are wearing down, you know, and especially some of those guys probably shouldn't be, you know, some of them maybe not be full-time players as much anymore. At least, you know, managers need to make sure to mix in an extra off day to go along with the real off day so you're not putting too much stress on veteran players. Obviously, it's hard to do when you're, you know, you want them to be out there and you want them to win. But I think that's what a lot of it is.
One of the things, Tim, as we take a look at the standings now in the AL, man, there are Yankees and Red Sox going right at it there. They've separated a little bit from Toronto, Tampa, and obviously Baltimore's at it. I mean, their season's, you know, it is what it is. Joey's Indians right there, top with the Twins in the Central, and Houston and the Angels seem to be the teams that are battling. You mentioned the Mariners. Cano's going to hurt. There's no way that it's not. So I know it's starting again. I know it's early, but doesn't it seem like it's Astros, Angels, Indians, Twins, if you want to throw the Tigers in there, only being a game behind them, but Sox, Yankees in the AL?
Yeah, no, that's probably the teams you're talking about. You know, I mean, I don't think you really put the Tigers in there. I think they'll fade eventually because they're young and all that sort of stuff. And whatever players they have, you know, they're in a rebuild situation. Can Seattle hold on? That would be a question. I think the Angels have been a very pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
You and I have talked about Ohtani, and I think they did some other things. I don't think it's just him, but they did some other things. And, you know, they've been a real good surprise out west. You know, of course, Mike Trout, one of the best gate players in baseball. And, you know, finally, he's got some, you know, parts around him to try to compete. It would be awesome to see him on the big stage playing in the postseason to see what he can do at that level.
Over in the National League in the East, I would say the Braves have been one of the surprises this year, including the Phillies. Did a lot of people think the Phillies would be up there at the top?
You know, I mean, I think they're ahead of schedule. I think a lot of people thought the Braves and Phillies would, their year would be next year.
Uh-huh.
You know, a combination of a lot of people thinking Bryce Harper will leave D.C., you know, and leave the Nationals, and then that would open the door. But I think both of those teams, I think the Phillies kind of proved it. When they went and did the big splash in spring training, I think they went into spring training thinking, all right, next year will be our year. Let's just need to make a step forward. But they went and got Arrieta, I think was their way of saying, you know what, this team looks like we're ready. And they went out and made a pretty substantial investment in Jake Arrieta, and they're off to a great start. And I think they're ahead of schedule, and it's going to be a fun ride in that National League East. I mean, I think when you have young teams like that, you'll have a roller coaster effect. They've both gotten off to a great start, but you might cool off, and how can they bounce back from that will probably dictate how they will finish both with Philadelphia and Atlanta. But I think the Nationals will be the division champion, you know, as they'll just pull, even though they've had a lot of injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like the Nats just got a lot of parts that they're making it work there.
Yeah, well, yeah, 8-2 in their last 10. I know it's nuts. Maybe it's something we'll think about later on, but it really does seem there's too much talk about him leaving for Bryce Harper to stay there. Because you wonder if that's going to happen, if I'm the Nationals, you know, trade him, try to get something for him, maybe, you know, an understanding that it's almost like the Cubs did, you know, with the closer that they got from the Yankees and sent them right back by not signing
right.
him back again. You know, I just wonder if Harper will be somebody like that if the Nationals seem to maybe not be able to retain them. You know, I know it's early, only a game and a half out.
I think the Nationals will win that division. They have been a playoff bust the last 4 years, not winning a round. I don't see the Nats trading him. I think the Nats will try to acquire a piece or two. The owner of the Nationals, Lerner is his last name. He is one of the richest people in Major League Baseball, you know, amongst the owners. He has towards the top in money. So I think he's a guy that may make a big trade in July. Go the opposite direction of what you mentioned mm-hmm. and try to get some parts for Harper, because I think he feels that if they win, especially if they get close, say they win the first round and lose in the NLCS in 7 games, he could probably retain Harper. I think their goal is to keep Harper. And I think now that the Yankees are probably out of the question, you know, I think everybody thought Harper would end up being with the Yanks, but when they got Stanton, I think all of a sudden now he's probably not going to go there.
Right.
Obviously, his relationship with Chris Bryant is something we'll see. You know, will the Cubs really step up? They already have a massive payroll. Could they spend that much money to try to lure him to Chicago? And I guess a lot of that will say if the Cubs fall flat this season, and maybe they would do something like that. But obviously, I don't know. I really see potentially Harper staying in D.C. and them just overpaying an absorbent amount of money just to keep him the franchise player.
I'll tell you what, some of the predictions of what he's going to be asking for is, $400 million,
right.
I saw one.
And that's
the
reason why, you know, I know him and Chris Bryant grew up together. They played on a lot of teams together. I can't see the Cubs paying that, because if you give Bryce Harper that amount of money and Chris Bryant's a free agent a year later,
right.
you're going to have to pay him the same amount of money, if not more. And I can't see two players like that being on the same team you're still paying Jason Hayward some exorbitant amount of money.
Dude, don't forget the ace of the staff, Yu Darvish. Anyway, the Dodgers make me feel better about Yu Darvish. 2-8 in their last 10 for poor Graf's Dodgers.
They have just fallen off the train. I mean, I don't write them off because they're the Dodgers. What did I just say about the Nationals? Their owner is one of the richest people in baseball. They can do things that other teams can't do. And will the Dodgers do it? Probably. And it's the course of a baseball season. You've got plenty of time to turn it around. But, you know, I think the loss of Seager and, you know, Bellinger's not playing as great. You know what I mean? There's a long list of problems right there. And Kershaw being on the DL. But they have enough people there and they have enough going on that I still wouldn't write them off at any, you know, maybe I wouldn't say at any point, but at this point I still wouldn't write them off. Plus, I think part of it is, obviously, the Diamondbacks look like they're really, really good, but then they went into D.C. this weekend and got smoked and got swept in the series. So, obviously, you know, over the course of the baseball season, if they get tripped up a few more times, that'll just open the door for L.A. to get right back in it.
At Mr. Tim Grubbs, the way to follow him over on Twitter each and every Tuesday, and sometimes on Wednesday, when he's watching and calling a beating 16-0 the Kings won yesterday, enjoying a day off today before they get back to baseball. Thanks for your time on your day off, bud.
Appreciate it. We're home this weekend, so we got fireworks on Friday and a bobblehead Saturday, so looking for some good weather and some wins against the dreaded Round Rock Express.
Yes, they are dreaded, but the super dreaded Memphis Redbirds come at the end of the month, and I will be there to boo.
I hope you are, because even though you and I aren't on the same page of our favorite team.
Oh, we are when it comes to hatred of the St. Louis Cardinals. Exactly.
Well,
right.
You have that.
Thank you, bud.
All right, we'll see you, man.
Some of the other top storylines going on in the world of deportes. We'll touch on that coming up. Out of the break next hour, Glenn Gilbo on LSU baseball. Hard to believe. I mean, seriously, this just doesn't happen very often, right? Last night, likely the last baseball game of the season at home for LSU. We'll touch on the postseason chances and things of that nature for the Tigers. Then at 2:15, Dino Hanson and I will go in depth into game two of the Eastern Conference Finals and tonight, game two of the Western Conference Finals. Warriors, Rockets, 2:30, Paul Boron. We're going to talk a little wrestling. A couple of topics. If you want to chime in the conversation, feel free to do so as well. Thanks for tuning us in and joining us. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. You don't know us. You don't. Welcome back. Sports Hangover. At ESPN Radio NOLA is the way to chime in via social media. You can always call us at 800-998-1003. And don't forget, each and every day I always run into somebody and they're like, you know, sometimes for some reason, for whatever it is, whether it's distance, the weather, whatever, sometimes the signal's fuzzy, whatever, or I'm on the North Shore, I can't get you. The TuneIn Radio app. Here's the thing, too. You don't ever have to just be in the car. I'd love you to listen to us when you're in there, but I'm realistic. You're not always in the car. But you can listen to us on your iPhone, your Samsung, whatever smartphone device you have. You can always listen on the stream at ESPN1003.com. But of course, the TuneIn Radio app, it's absolutely free. And you can listen to, of course, anything ESPN New Orleans has, including, you know, Major League Baseball games, the NBA, Pelicans games when they're on, Nichols, high school baseball playoffs like we have. Whenever we have any sort of programming, national, local, you name it, games, talk shows, dude, it's on the TuneIn Radio app. It's absolutely free. And pretty much most of the cars y'all are driving has that USB input, right? You're charging your phone as it is, right? You have your phone in the charger. Yeah. Just go to the TuneIn Radio app, press aux or iPod button on your car, and there we are. Crystal clear. The sound comes from the board. It's perfect. So if it's fuzzy, you're out of town. Todd listens to us when he gets the Wi-Fi on jets and on airplanes. That's how Todd listens to us. Yeah, like, so yeah, so 30 some odd thousand feet in the air, when you select the Wi-Fi, you can pull up TuneIn Radio and listen to us. I don't know why you would want to do that, but it's fine. It's fine. No, I'm just saying, because Todd does it on vacations. I'm on vacation. When I go on vacation, I'm on vacation, dude. Don't text me. Don't, no, I said don't text me. I don't want to know. Figure it out. That's what Todd tells me when he goes on vacation. Figure it out. So we've been talking about the Pels, obviously, and Boogie Cousins. We're going to get into a little bit more of that if you'd like next hour. Some of the responses have been pretty good by a lot of people. Look, CM Rob says bring him back, especially if that's what AD wants. I honestly, in my heart of hearts, believes Anthony Davis wants him back. I think the team wants him back. They said they want him back. I just think at the right price, right? You posted it out there. Pels fans, do you bring back Boogie at all cost or get rid of him at all cost? That's not what I told you to tweet, by the way. I said bring him back at cost or bring him back at the right cost. Yeah, that's that seems like you want to get rid of DeMarcus. Jordan the intern.
Hey, I mean,
how about we correct that tweet, because that's not at all what I was asking. I didn't say get rid of him. I said, do you bring back Boogie at all cost, or do you bring him back at the right cost? Do you bring him back at the right cost, as in what makes sense for your, you know what, your... We'll take a break. When we come back, I'm going to go beat the intern. And then we'll hear from Glenn Gilbo, Dino Hansen, Paul Boron. More of your thoughts and comments and questions. I mean, you're sitting right next to me. How do you not know what I'm asking? Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.